In 1 Samuel 28, we're going to be starting at verse 3. I want to give you the setup so that you kind of know what's going to happen. And then in a few moments, I'm actually going to be turning out the lights. And you know, if you need your phone to read it. But, you know, I'm going to be telling a story. It's going to be a ghost story. And it really is actually a ghost story. I have some theological things to say about, are there such things as ghosts? And are there such things as mediums and spiritists and their veracity? So it'll be kind of fun. 1 Samuel 28, this is the time of the Israelite nation when they have a king. And the king that they have is not a very good king. It was their first king, and the king's name was Saul. Saul was the first king, and that was because the nation of Israel had begged God after coming into the land. They kept whining and complaining, all the other nations have a king. Why can't we have a king? We want a king. And God's like, I am your king. Follow me, follow my direction. And God, and people are like, no, we want someone to lead us. And so finally God says, you really want a leader? You want to see how much fun that can actually be? Fabulous. I'm giving you a leader, and his name was Saul. Now, Saul started off brilliantly. Saul was really, really a good king. In fact, he met a band of prophets one time. The Spirit of the Lord came on him in power. He prophesied. He was an incredible leader. He followed after God. He was a humble leader to begin with. He was actually hiding amongst luggage when God first tapped him on the shoulder. And he's like, I just don't know if I should be doing this. And God says, that makes you perfect for the job. If you are one who's sitting back and not doing anything and you think so lowly of yourself, God can use those people in incredible ways. So Saul becomes king. But after a while, Saul starts making a few mistakes. Which happens, right? We all make mistakes. Things take place. But Saul had a very interesting problem in that he was very slow to repentance, sometimes not ever repenting at all. The prophet that was Saul's thorn in the flesh was a prophet by the name of Samuel, is the name of the book. So Samuel is the prophet. He would come to Saul and go, Saul, you messed up. And Saul would be like, whatever, I really don't care. And come to Saul, you messed up again. And this happened in a couple of very important key things. In fact, one of them that's going to be referenced is a time when there was this nation that was attacking. They were the Amalekites, and they were a nasty group of people. The Amalekites, what's going to happen to them, you're going to say, that doesn't sound fair. But when you think of what the Amalekites did to the Israelites, it seems absolutely fair. The Amalekites were heinous and hideous. They were the ones that would place babies on over lava pits to burn them up, to sacrifice them to their gods. They were the ones that, when they went into battle, they would love to pick off the weak and the infirmed, the old people that would be straggling behind, or, you know, some guy goes to the bathroom and they swoop in and pick him off. They were nasty and ruthless. And so there was a time when they went to battle and God says, you know what? I want them all gone. I have to remove these people from the land. They are so nasty. So you're gonna kill them all. Men, women, children, and you're also gonna, I don't want you to benefit from these people. So no sheep, no goats, no cows, nothing, all gone. And so that was the directive given to Saul. And when Saul saw that there was a lot of great plunder, he thinks to himself, why would I want to kill a sheep? I mean, like, the sheep's not an Amalekite. And he logically deduced, this doesn't make much sense. So he kept a bunch of the spoils. And it's really interesting because Samuel comes rounding the corner and he goes, so, Saul, did we do it? Did you wipe everyone out? And Saul's like, yes, they're all gone. And Samuel says, well, then why do I hear the bleating of sheep? He was caught red-handed. There was another time when Saul was told to wait for Samuel for a sacrifice. Saul, super impatient, shows up. Samuel hasn't shown up on time. Saul gets super impatient. He decides to go forward and do the things that he was not supposed to do. God gave him specific, very specific directions. Wait for Samuel. Because he was impatient, he went ahead with the sacrifice. And guess who rounds the corner right when the sacrifice gets started? Samuel. So over and over again, Saul is given chance after chance. And finally, right at the end, Samuel has to confront Saul and say, Saul, you're no longer going to be king. Samuel had anointed David chapters ago, but David had kind of stayed underground and hidden for a long time. And finally, he goes to Saul and he says, God's favor no longer is upon you. In fact, you have become God's enemy because of how you are living your life and how you have totally led so many people astray. So the kingdom is no longer going to be yours. It's going to be given to someone else. And it's like, who? It's going to be the young man David. And Saul gets angry, reaches out, grabs Samuel by the robe. And as Samuel's trying to get away, he rips the robe. And Samuel looks back and he says, just as this robe has been ripped, so the kingdom shall be ripped from your hands, so long. Shortly thereafter, Samuel dies. So now Saul's really in trouble because who is going to guide this man in the ways of God? Which is kind of a moot point because Samuel over and over and over and over again had been trying to get him to pay attention to what God was saying, but he wanted nothing to do with it. Saul was just completely and utterly against the word of God. Every time Samuel would say, do this, Saul would try to find the loophole. Saul would try to figure a way around it. Or Saul would just flat out ignore it. And then kind of the final straw, the final thing that the nail in Saul's coffin is this event here, 1 Samuel 28, Saul and the Ewoks of Endor, the witch of Endor. By the way, the Ewoks are not on Endor. They're on the far moon of Endor, okay? So Ewoks are not here. 1 Samuel 28, verse 3. Now Samuel was dead. And all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why were the mediums and the spiritists expelled from the land? They were not supposed to be there in the first place. When they had entered into the promised land, God gave specific direction that spiritists, mediums, psychics were never a part of his plan. There are passages in Leviticus and Deuteronomy where all of these people were supposed to be either ushered out or even killed. Because there's this temptation. Don't we always have this temptation? We have this love of God, but I wonder if that other stuff works too. I wonder if psychics actually work. I had one time a person argue with me about psychics. They say, well, wasn't Jesus a psychic? This is one of those hard things. Like, well, he knew the future, but it was never anything that was used in a spiritual, demonic way in order to draw people away from God. Anytime God ever told the future, it was to draw people to him to say, this is what's going to happen so you could trust what I say. But everyone else were fakers and posers. And some of them, I think, actually did use demonic dark arts in order to get their way. This is the reason why even today, it is never, ever, ever a good idea to be dabbling in that type of stuff. You know, it may look like a harmless board game, but Ouija boards are just, they're not smart things to do. I think we have a problem again with the devil where we either make the devil way too powerful or we completely ignore him. He is somewhere in the middle. But when we offer ourselves and engage in those activities, there's some problems that are going to be happening. So Saul had essentially kicked out all of the spiritists, all of the mediums. They were all supposed to be gone. It plays later on in this story. Verse 4, the Philistines, who were one of their enemies, assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all the Israelites and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. And this was the way God often spoke to his people back in the Old Testament. It could be through vivid dreams, but mainly it was through Urim and Thummim, which was a sort of casting of the lots, a flipping of the coin that was guided by God. But most importantly, it was usually through prophets. And so Saul had gone around and he's been praying, but he's not getting any answer. Have you ever experienced that? You pray. I have a feeling that your prayers and Saul's prayers are radically different. Because I have absolutely no problem with someone saying, I have been praying about this course of action. I've been praying about, should I take this job? I've been praying about, what college should I be going to? I've been praying about, should we expand our family? I've been praying, should we add on to our house? I've been praying, how should we live our life? What should we be doing? And I just don't seem to get an answer. Nothing wrong with that, because I think that happens. But I don't think that's Saul's prayers. I've had people come and say, I've been praying because I'm wondering, I think God wants me to divorce my spouse. God's already given an answer. You don't have to pray about that one. I've been praying about, how far should I go with my girlfriend? Like, you know, can I go a little bit further? You know, I know that there's all these prudes around, but I'm wondering, maybe I should test that limit a little bit. What would God, I'm going to pray to God about that. God's already answered what the right thing is. I'm wondering how I should live my life, if I should be dabbling in pornography. I mean, that's not that bad, right? It's not the most terrible thing in the world. It could really enhance our sex life. God has spoken. You don't need to pray about this. This is one of those things where I think sometimes, hopefully you don't do it often, where you pray to sin and God doesn't give you an answer, because guess what? He's already given you an answer. I love it when my kids do that. They come to me, Daddy, can we have pizza tonight? And I love pizza, so I often give in. But there's times that Jacob will come to me, Dad, can we have pizza? And I think about it, and I go, no. What would be the worst thing you could do right at that moment, Jacob? What was that? Go to Mom, right? So they ask you first, and when she says no, they go to the softy, and they're like, Dad, can we have pizza? Now, if Mom and I have not consulted, but there have been times when the kids were a lot younger when we would be standing next to each other, and they would ask, and then they would turn around. The answer has already been given. Why do you keep asking about something that you know is already not acceptable? And it's really tough. We could do it in life. I mean, yeah, I understand the power of second opinions. But should we ever get a second opinion from God? Like, God, I really hate this person. So I think I'm going to send them a nasty email and let them know what a horrible human being they are. Because, Lord, someone needs to tell them, and maybe you're calling upon me to fill the role of prophet. And we spiritualize it, and we go, this is maybe what we need to do. And God may come back and not say anything because he's already told you what is right or wrong. Alex? Oh, yeah, we could go through a whole thing. Yeah, Saul, yeah, he went because he didn't like what the prophets say. So it's really simple. Just kill them all. So he slaughtered a whole group and they all hid out. There were some that were hidden, and then they became loyal to David, who is actually, surprisingly, the Philistine army that's gathering. Guess who's part of the Philistine army? David is part of that group. He actually became the personal bodyguard of the king of the Philistines. He's in there incognito. But yeah, Saul is an evil, nasty man, killing all. So that would also send a message to the prophets. You tell me what I want to hear, and when you tell me what I want to hear, then you live. But if you tell me something I don't like, then I don't like you anymore. Yeah. Whenever we try to outsmart God or find the loophole or find the wiggle room, he just simply says, no, this is not acceptable. I've already answered this. I think what Saul is doing is he is going around trying to see if he can find out a way to really get past this issue. He wants to find out the will of God to see if maybe he likes it this time. But there comes a point that if you keep ignoring God over and over and over again, is he going to keep on talking? No, like with parents, right? You know, when your kids come to you and they keep asking the same question, you're like, I've already answered this question. I'm going to let you figure it out now on your own. You've already got the answer. So Saul is now in trouble. He doesn't know what he should do. So he decides to do something brilliant. Saul-like, yes. Does something Saul-like. Verse 7, Saul then said to his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium so I may go and inquire of her. Has God already spoken about this? Has he already said what is right and what is wrong when it comes to spiritists and mediums? He's already said, you just don't do it. So now he's going to try to inquire of God through a method that God has already said, please do not do this, period. Mediums were really, I mean, did you, I don't know if you heard about, it was in the news recently. There was a dwarf, a psychic that escaped from jail. Yeah, he was a small medium at large. No, we can't erase that off the tape. We're recording this. This is beautiful. Yeah, I think Rich had already heard that joke. My goodness gracious. Yeah, he knew where it was going right away. yeah, I tested that on Heather, and she said don't do it because it was a bad joke. But I went ahead. Yeah, I got my answer who said don't do it, and I did it anyway. Yeah. I'm paying the price. I did something Saul-like. Yeah, yeah. So Saul says, "Find me this." Now this is a problem though, because where are all the mediums? Where are all these spiritists? They're supposed to all be dead or gone. How is this going to happen? Well, one of his attendants says, "There is one in Endor." They said, "I love this. This is great." So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes. And at night, he and his two men went to the woman. I have to do this because this is... Oh, you want me to go to... I'm going to have a seizure right about now, I think. Everyone listening to this on the internet is like, what in the world is happening?
Get to church.
This is such a funny story, but at the same time, it's a creepy story. So it's one of those that I can look back on and I can laugh a lot at, but I would like you to get the feeling of what's happening. Has anyone, no, I don't even want to ask, this is a rhetorical question, so do not raise your hand. Have you ever gone to something like this? Have you ever dabbled in this? This can be really, the closest I've got was years ago when I was at Concordia Irvine, and right at that time, the abortion issue was really, really large, and we were trying to figure out, does Planned Parenthood actually offer free abortions? Because they advertised, but we wanted to know, is it actually true? So a friend of mine, Mary, she and I went to the choir director's wife, who happened to be pregnant at the time, Sonia, and we said, Sonia, we need a little bit of your pee. Because we know when we go to Planned Parenthood, what's the first thing they're going to ask? We can pee in a cup and let's see if they're pregnant. And so she granted it to us, which we had to explain. This was for a class, sociology class. And we went in there, and I remember as we walked in to the Planned Parenthood and sat down, I physically was getting sick. It was, because I had never been in a place like that. I know that others have, and I know some people have done it out of desperation, and I don't say this in a condemning way to bring down wrath and judgment, but there's times when it gets so weird and creepy that you can't describe it. The decor was beautiful. The seats were comfortable. The art on the wall was nice. The lady behind the desk was pleasant. but it was just something terribly and utterly wrong about us being in that place. Saul is now in this woman's home in the middle of the night, and this woman is used to contacting dead people. So he says, consult a spirit for me and bring up for me the one I name. The woman, first of all, has some issues, and this is why she responds. She says, surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death? She thinks this is a sting operation. Like drug dealers wondering if the people that they're actually dealing to are actually undercover cops. She says, aren't you aware that Saul, King Saul, has killed all of the mediums? I have no idea what you're talking about. Now, this is, again, where one of the humorous pieces come in, because she is saying, King Saul will kill me if he finds out, and who is standing right before her? She's not much of a psychic, is she? Put a little mustache on and a little hoodie, and there's King Saul, and he's like, well, King Saul is standing right in front of you. Why do you not know this? Yeah, and he was super tall. Saul was, you know, that's the reason why when Saul and David had the battle against Goliath, David was like, I can't wear this. Your clothing, your armor doesn't fit me. He was a really tall, tall guy. So wouldn't it be like if super giant tall guy in a hood comes walking in, consult a spirit for me. You might actually be King Saul. So she thinks it's a trap. Saul immediately responds and says, it's not a trap, don't worry. And he says, Saul swears to her by, is the Lord in all caps for you? Oh, you can't read, can you? It is in all caps, I'll just tell you. What does it, when Old Testament puts the Lord in all caps, what does that mean? Yahweh. She's like, he says, I swear to God. I swear to Yahweh. I promise you by the name of the Lord God Almighty whom I serve. Is this just not the weirdest thing? He's in a place, in a disguise, in order to talk to someone who talks to dead people, and she's worried about her life, and he swears by Yahweh. As surely as Yahweh lives, you will not be punished for this. And of course, it's delicious irony that they wish to talk to someone who's dead when all along you could actually be talking to someone who is alive. And that's one of God's big points when it comes to this stuff, that Yahweh is alive. Why talk to a stick? Why try to talk to your dead grandmother when I am alive? The woman then says, whom shall I bring up for you? And he says, bring me Samuel. When the woman saw Samuel, she screamed, ah! Did that scare you, Anthony? Was that good? Or was that Kevin that got scared? Someone got scared. You got to feel the creepiness. Like, they're in this woman's house, and there's, I don't know, probably chicken bones, I'm guessing. I don't know, there's blood. You know, it's really creepy. And then she says, I'm going to bring up Samuel, and then all of a sudden she starts screaming. Why is she screaming? I think this is the first time it ever worked for her. This is why I thought this is a hilarious story. I actually think, because they've shown it, I've watched exposés on psychics and things like that, and I actually did this one time to a lady, freaked her out. I felt bad. You know, you just say, oh, there was someone in your life had an untimely demise, and it was something around here. And the lady's like, oh my gosh, my Uncle Joe had a heart attack. Oh, yeah, he had a heart attack. Really, yeah, and it was painful. Oh my gosh, it was painful. Yeah, his name is Joe. His last name, there's a T in it. S, I think. Oh, his name is Pot. Yeah, Pot, that's what I, and I guided her through this whole thing, and the next thing she knows, she thinks I'm being possessed by the devil, because no, I'm not doing any of that. I'm just having her tell me the answers so that I can do it. And so I think that's what this woman does. She's like, oh, you want me to conjure up Samuel, okay. Samuel, if you are here, come and speak to us now. And then he shows up. I think we would all freak out. I think I've said this before, where like if God showed up to our worship service, would that freak you out? Now, I know he's here. I know the theology. I understand it. Angels, right? Are angels here? Yeah, the angel. We all have angels. But what if it actually showed up physically? What would we all do? We would freak. So what would happen if the ghost of someone who is dead showed up to a woman who had never seen the ghost of a dead woman? I think this woman's freaking out because this dude appears. So a guy shows up. Now the question is going to be asked, is this person that shows up, is it Samuel or is it a demon in disguise? I have an opinion. You may not like it. Where am I at? 12, thank you. The woman saw Samuel. She cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." I think what happens, Samuel shows up, takes one look at Saul and says, "Saul, you idiot!" And that's when the woman's like, "Wait, there's a dead person and you're Saul?" Is this woman thinking she's a dead woman, right? She's done. Like, there's dead people in her house now, and the king who killed all the mediums and spiritists, oh my goodness gracious. I feel bad for this woman, but she is a medium. She brought it on herself. And I think a lot of people just don't realize this. Again, dabbling in that kind of stuff can be very, very dangerous. So the king said to her, "Don't be afraid. What do you see?" Which tells you something. He can't see Samuel. Samuel has shown up as this ghost. The woman can see him. And so she starts screaming. And Saul's like, whoa, what? "You don't worry about your life, little lady. I'm not going to kill you. Yes, I'm Saul." Pulls off the little mustache and takes off the Clark Kent Black, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was you all along. "You don't have to worry about me. I'm not going to kill you. What do you see?" "I see a spirit." Do you have a text note on spirit? It's plural. If I were God, and aren't you glad that I'm not? If I were God and some spiritist is like, "Bring me Samuel," I would send every Samuel that's dead. Wouldn't that be fantastic? All these spirits showing up. And so it's not that just Samuel shows up. There's other things that are there. This is creepy. Other spirits are now hanging about. Oh my gosh. I see spirits coming up out of the ground. But he wants to find Samuel. "What does he look like?" he asked. "An old man wearing a robe." It's not very specific, is it, Josh? Some have theorized that Samuel's mommy put, like, on his collar, Samuel, right? So that I believe. S, yeah. It's Superman or Samuel or it's... it's a guy with the name S in it, yeah. I think that the robe that this ghost was wearing was tattered and ripped. Now, again, the story is truncated because, you know, part of us wonders how in the world did we actually get this story? Like, was it related by Saul? We're not going to have all the details. So I really honestly believe that there's this tattered robe, and the woman's like, "I see a man, and He's in a robe and it's all ripped and shredded, and Saul figures it out. Saul knew it was Samuel. And he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Is it a smart idea to bow down to ghosts? Unless it's the Holy Ghost. So, is Saul doing anything right? He's disobeying God. He's, what was that? He's just plain stupid. Saul might be one of the stupidest kings. That would be a great Bible study. The stupidest king in the Bible. Top 10 stupid kings in the Bible. Yeah. So he doesn't listen to God. He kills all his prophets. He tries to get back and rip Samuel's robe. Samuel says, you're out. He starts going crazy. He starts pursuing David. And then he's not listening to God anyway. Then he goes to a medium and he consults a dead person. Samuel shows up and he starts to worship him. Saul. That'd be a great phrase. We should start that. So Saul. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Verse 15. I feel like I'm at a campfire. Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? So right off the get-go, so now you've got this crazy spiritist woman with chicken bones and blood all over the place. You've got a ghost you can't see. And the next thing you know, it appears as if now he's communicating via this woman. And he says, I'm angry. So now you've got an angry ghost on your hand. An angry prophet ghost. Isn't this great? Yay! Now, again, is this a demon or is this actually Samuel? I'm going to prove that I believe it is the ghost of Samuel. I don't think this is normal. I don't think this is God's MO, but God can do whatever he wants, right? Are we at the resurrection of the last day yet? No, so Saul's body is decomposing in the ground. His spirit is still very much alive, and the spirit and the body have not joined together. Again, does this mean that there's ghosts living among us? I don't believe so. Because of what Scripture says, but I do believe that God can, anytime he wishes, breaks the very rules he establishes, because he is really trying to prove a point here. I believe it's actually Samuel. I'll tell you why in just a moment. Saul says, I am in great distress. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He no longer answers me, either by prophets or by dreams, so I've called on you to tell me what to do. So he admits it. I'm not hearing from God. Because your life is a train wreck. Come back to God. Again, sometimes people say, it feels like God has left me. Well, maybe. I'm not saying it's for certain. But maybe you've left God. Maybe you have said, you know what, I really don't want to follow what God says. And then you wonder why certain things happen and you feel all alone and you feel in distress and you're like, gosh, my life's a mess. Well, maybe you need to rethink some things. Samuel said, why do you consult me now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy? Ouch. The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to me, to one of your neighbors, actually to his son-in-law. To David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, that's the story of the wiping out of that group and the sheep and the problems that were there. The Lord has done this to you today. Now, are you ready for the kicker? Imagine a ghost telling this to Saul. The Lord will hand over both Israel and you to the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. Yeah? It's a great Halloween story. There was two guys that loved baseball a lot. I don't know if you heard the story. Yes. Well, I tested this out on a couple people. So you said this was good. You said this was good. Two guys who really loved baseball and loved playing it, loved leading it. You know, they just loved baseball. They watched it. They were fans. And they had always wondered, is there baseball in heaven? Wouldn't that be great? Because if there's no baseball in heaven, then I don't really want to go there. Well, sure enough, it happened. One day, one of the two gentlemen died, went to heaven. And this man was like, I'm really dying to find out, is there baseball in heaven? And so he goes to a medium, and he conjures up the ghost of his friend, and he says, so? Is there baseball in heaven? And the guy says, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. The good news is, there is baseball in heaven. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be fantastic. And the guy was so excited. He's like, that's great news. He goes, what's the bad news? He says, I checked the starting lineup. You're pitching tomorrow. Yes? Diane? Come on, Diane. I thought it was a great story. That was a great. Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Thank you. Yeah. Do you have a question? Oh, you want to add something? Yes. Yes, yes. In the beginning, right? Yeah. And then, well, there's other places, you know, when Rachel stole first and Leah stole second, right? Yeah, there's tons of places. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. So I just love this story that, sorry to bring it back, I had to tell the funny thing because this is really creepy. What would you do if a ghost showed up to you and said, oh, by the way, tomorrow you're going to be with me? This is the reason why I believe that this is Samuel. I believe that a demon would have known about the ripping of the robe out of his hand. I think he would have known a lot of stuff. But the one thing the demons do not know is the future. So that's the reason why I always find it fascinating why people would go to a psychic or a spiritist or a medium. There is no way for them to know. Even if they contact dark arts and contact demons, demons do not know the future. Do you know why they don't know the future? Because they are creations. They had been created. There is only one entity that knows the future, and that's God, period. And that's the reason why God says over and over, you will know it's me if I could tell you the future, right? The reason why I hate watching weathermen in Southern California. Has any of them been right? Especially in the past couple of months? Oh, a cool down's coming. At some point in human history, a cool down will have to happen. They're liars because they cannot predict the future nor the weather. So if there is a weatherman or a weatherwoman who can predict the future, she's getting her information from only one place. God. The godly weatherwoman. Awesome. Yeah, and earthquakes, yeah. I tell you. So Saul is told, you are going to go to battle, and you are going to lose, and you're going to die, and your kids are going to die. Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's word. His strength was gone, for he had not eaten anything that day and night, which is really creepy that he fasted before this, a spiritual discipline to inquire of the knowledge of God, but doing it in a way that was terrible. When the woman came to Saul and saw that she was greatly shaken, she said, look, your maidservant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now please, and that word listen is a bad translation, cross it out and put the word obey. It's the exact same word she just used in that same sentence. She said, you obeyed me. Now, if I obeyed you, now you obey me. And that is one thing when you deal with dark arts is it's you never get anything for free. You will sacrifice a lot by encountering it. Now, please, listen to your servant. Let me give you some food so you may eat and have the strength to go your way. What would you do if you were Saul at that point? I would leave. I wouldn't be there in the first place, but I think at this point, maybe it's a good idea to leave creepy witch woman's house. This might be smart. Look what he does. He refuses and says, I will not eat. But his men joined the woman in urging him. Oh, great. great friends, and he listened to them. He got up from the ground and sat on the couch, and the woman had a fattened calf. There could be some interesting parallels. I'm really glad it wasn't a spotless lamb. That would have been even creepier. Which she butchered at once. She took some flour, kneaded it, and baked it with bread without yeast. Again, how long would it take for her to, you know, this woman's a butcher. I mean, that's pretty amazing. She can kill a cow and quarter it up, and then she makes some bread from scratch. Yeah, about how long do you think that would take? The whole time, what is Saul doing? He's sitting on the couch. Just like a man. Yeah, right? He's asking for the remote control. Hey, is anything good on? Oh, look, the angels are playing. Oh, look, the devils are playing. Then he set it before Saul and his men, and they ate, and that night they got up and left. All right, Josh, you can turn the lights on for me. So why do we have this story? I've always thought that this would be a great bedtime story to scare your kids. I do believe that it was Samuel that actually showed up. I believe it teaches us a couple of lessons. The biggest lesson is when God has spoken about something, he has spoken about something. And if you try to go to other avenues in order to wiggle out of God's will for your life, you are just simply going to get into trouble. And as we approach Halloween, I am not one of those who believes that Halloween is this purely evil thing, that if you're a Christian and you let your kids go trick-or-treating, that they're now going to be possessed by demons, though sometimes they act like it. But I also always offer a word of caution. This is not the time that you dabble in things that are ungodly. This is not the time when you throw caution to the wind and dress as you will because it's Halloween and I can get away with it. It's not the time to throw away what you believe about God. But we do know something, and that is when God speaks, we should listen. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for the times when we have tried to get out of your will, when we have tried to think that we have the answers, or we try to, we just don't like what you say. I mean, you give us such horrible things, like we should love our enemies, and we should turn the other cheek, and we should pray for those who hate us, and I don't like any of that stuff, and the scripture is filled with that. And I know we are fascinated with dark things. We are fascinated with evil and seances and dead things. And yet you've told us that's just not where we should be going, that our lives are filled with light. They're filled with you. And that when we have you as a part of our life, there is no need for any of that because you've already spoken. Forgive us when we have tried to circumvent your will, trying to run around, trying to go under, trying to go over, trying to go through you. Instead, let us come humbly straight to you and to what you would have to say so that our lives might be marked by obedience. And may we not obey witches or evil. May we not listen to them, but instead we obey one thing and one thing only, and that's your word, which tells us of great things. And Lord, I wish I knew what happened to Saul. Did there ever come a time when he repented, when he saw that what he was doing was just wrong? I could spend a lot of time wondering that, but really won't do me any good, because really you just ask me, will I repent of my sin? Will I turn away from that which doesn't please you and instead follow you wholly and completely? May that be what my life is marked with. Because we're all going to be making those mistakes. We're all going to be choosing dumb things. We are going to be Saul-like in a lot of ways. But the true mark of what it means to be a Christian is when we run back to you, asking for your forgiveness once again and praying that you would give us your grace because of Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.